The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of church here is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, beginning at the fourth verse. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Jude, starting at verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds, with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels, and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lessons. As soon as this branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. This is the last Sunday of the church year. So I guess I could wish everybody a happy new year, at least as far as the church is concerned. It's a Sunday that we look at the return of Christ. You saw that in the lessons. You certainly saw that in the hymn we just sung. We get prepared for his return. Once this is done, then we move into the Advent season, which gets us prepared for his birth. And Jesus, by the way, spent a lot of time talking about his return. Many of the parables talk about him going on a long journey and coming back, checking on what the servants have been doing. So he just doesn't talk about it once and then moves on. He tells us what the conditions are going to be like. What's going to happen on the earth just prior to him coming? What challenges the believers are going to face? That life is not going to be easy for them. In society, there's a lot of confusion about the end times. Remember that series of books, Left Behind? The only good part was right in the beginning when the rapture happened, when all the believers were taken, and in the airplane, the pilot and co-pilot vanished. You don't find the humor in that, do you? Or a car's on the highway, and there's drivers missing, and the car's flying down the highway. Okay, nobody enjoys a good wreck. That's, to me, the only good scene in the whole movie. That's the only part I watched, and then I got bored with it and turned it off. But anyway, the scariest thought for most people is, when he returns, will he find us faithful? What happens if he comes, I'm in the middle of an argument with my wife or with somebody else, and it's getting kind of heated, and I'm saying things I shouldn't, and then he comes. Am I still going to be saved, even though I'm being a rude little jerk at that moment? And you know, by the way, there's been rampant discussions on the end times for centuries. All the way back, basically, from the apostles forward, they were arguing about what the end times would be. And there's a couple of common errors. Now, talking about the end times is a broad picture. So I got to use a broad brush to talk about it. I can't talk about every little thing in it, but I can give some generalized, general ideas to it. First of all, the biggest error is people try to set a date for Christ's return. He warns his followers, no one knows when that day or hour will come. Even the angels in heaven and the Son don't know. Only the Father knows. Now that strikes us as a little odd, perhaps. He said the Son doesn't know, only the Father knows, but Jesus is God. In his human state, he didn't know. It's kind of hard to understand how that would work, but I'll use an analogy that falls badly short of it. If, for example, I would put on my calendar at home 7 p.m. counseling, and Susan would ask me, not that she ever would or has, but who are you meeting with? And I would say, as your husband, I don't know, and as your pastor, I'm not telling you. That's kind of the way it works with Jesus being the Son of God and fully God as well. In his human state, he didn't know. Many have tried to set aside a date and have led people astray. Back in the first part of the 19th century, there was a man, William Miller. 14 years he studied the scriptures, trying to find the date of the second coming. And he was assured that Christ would come back in 1843. He had nearly 100,000 followers. Not only did he have the year, but he had it picked out or pinpointed to April 3rd itself. Some of his followers went up on the mountaintops. That way they could meet Christ first when he came down. Others went to the graveyard so they could be near loved ones when they were raised from the dead, and they would see them immediately first. This is what a lot of his followers did. And guess what happened? April 4th came around. So when you make a mistake like that, what do you say? I miscalculated. I'll give you another date. Well, that was the 1840s. Guess what? He was wrong again. It took about 3-4 times before he lost most of the people. Now, it's a correct doctrine to talk about Christ returning. All right, that Christ will also raise people from the dead, and that we will be reunited with our loved ones in heaven. Those are valid doctrines to talk about. Trying to pick a date is ridiculous. Now, good old heresies in church. They're basically bad teachings with a little bit of truth mixed in. I don't know if any of you remember the book came out in 1970, The Late Great Planet Earth. The idea was, once again, predicting the end of the world, and he picked the year 1989. He was wrong again. Jesus encourages us to get ready for the second coming. He does not encourage us to try to figure out the date. He gives the parable of an owner of a house that goes on a long journey. And he puts his servants in charge, and he says to the doorkeeper, stay awake, you don't know when I'm coming back. That's what Christ is focusing on in the second coming, that we focus on staying awake and prepared, not physically awake, but spiritually awake, for his second coming. The second common error in talking about the doctrine of the second coming is there's a story of a little girl went to Sunday school and they talk about the second coming. So on the way home, the little girl says, "Mommy, do you believe that Jesus will come back?" The mom answered, "Yes." The little girl says, "Today?" Mom says, "Yes." "In a few minutes, Mommy?" "Well, yes, dear." Then she says, "Mommy, would you comb my hair?" See, an attitude is unhealthy. How do I put this? That attitude that is unhealthy is those who try to set the date for his second coming. We all have an appointment to meet Jesus. When we stand in front of him and our life is played before him, and he either says to us, guilty or innocent, and it's innocent because of what he's done, not ever because of what we have done. Peter writes about Christ coming again when he says, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.'" You know, when is the second coming going to be? It could be at the end of the service, could be at the end of the day, could be at the end of our life, but it's coming. Jesus' advice is simple. He says to us that we live in his grace and forgiveness. Know that the cross was making us ready to stand before Jesus. What he does on the cross makes us eligible to stand before him. Know that God keeps us close to his heart for that great and wonderful day. Because there's more at stake for God the Father than just Judgment Day, because it cost him his son on the cross. So God is the one at work, making us ready and keeping us in grace and love for that coming day. A man named Warren Worsby, and I'm probably slaughtering the pronunciation of his last name, wrote in a book, Meet Yourself in the Psalms, but a young boy who was playing on a wagon with a team of horses in front of him, and the boy got the horses to start moving. It started to gallop. No driver on this. This is not a good thing. So there was a man who saw it. He jumps on his horse, just like cowboy heroes of the old times. I'm sure he was wearing a white hat, too. And called people pilgrim. All right. He rides up. He stops the horses. He puts himself in danger to save this young boy. So this young boy grows up, but he grows up on the lawless side of the tracks. Finally, he's caught after some horrific crimes, and he stands before the judge, and guess who the judge is? The man that had rescued him years ago. So he tried to plead with the judge. "Remember, you were the one that saved me years ago. Forgive me. Don't give me the ultimate punishment." The judge responded, "Young man, then I was your savior. Today I'm your judge, and I must sentence you to be hanged." When he comes again, he's not coming in on a donkey with palm branches, the Palm Sunday type of picture. Next time he comes, he's coming as the judge. He's going to destroy the present world and build a new kingdom for his people. And we have a place there because he died on the cross. Even if he comes when we're in the middle of an argument or doing something else that perhaps we shouldn't be doing, God's grace still covers us. So in faith, we look forward to the second coming. It will be a glorious day. Not only are we united, or I should say in addition to being united with Christ in heaven, we're also reunited with all those who have gone before us. It's in our faith that we can look forward to the return of Christ as our deliverance from the sinful world. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, Keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.